Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
I almost sang there. I said no singing. 4:05, McMonagle here with you on The Fan on this Wednesday morning. We got you for one more hour up until the warm-up show at 5. Fleegs on the other side, 888-808-1019. As we are here in just welcome to hell! As both our baseball teams are just atrocious. There's been one win combined since the trade deadline. Since both these teams have, you know, won the trade deadline. One win between them. The Yankees are now on a 5-game losing streak after losing a game last night 2-0 to the Texas Rangers. The Mets have now lost 7 of 8 after their 7-game winning streak after losing 3-2 to the Guardians last night. But the Yankees always seem to do it with such gusto. That just happens to blow the Mets right out of the water. So I don't know if it's a congratulations, Met fans, that you're taking a back seat here while you're losing 7 of 8. But right now, the New York Yankees and everything they do and the decisions the manager makes, and really that's where I've spent a lot of time today because I've been a Boone defender. There's no doubt about it. I have been. I've taken on all comers who have been talking about moving on and getting rid of, or Aaron Boone sucks, for the last, I don't know, however many years. And I'm just different than most because I don't put every mistake on him. I don't put Jazz getting thrown out on a pop-up on the manager. Like, he's a Major League Baseball player. I don't put Anthony Volpe throwing the ball into the dirt on the manager. I don't put, you know, base running mistakes or Wells forgetting how many outs there are. Like, you're a professional baseball player. Remember, be aware of how many outs there are. There's a big scoreboard that tells you everything you need to know. But when I do start to question a manager is when I feel like he's either lost the team or significantly underachieving with a group or has no answers. And right now, I feel like all three of those fall at the feet of Aaron Boone. I think he falls into all three of those categories. I think right now they are grossly underachieving. I think since the trade deadline, they've filled a lot of different holes. You know, not with the greatest of players or all-star players, but we've seen, you know, already an impact from McCann. I think the two bullpen arms and Bednar and Duvall are going to be real important to this team. They've added some depth on the bench. Like, they've solidified a lot of their issues outside of the starting rotation, maybe. And I just feel like this team is far better than what they've been playing. They were up 7-10 over the Boston Red Sox. They are now 6.5 behind Toronto. And 3.5 behind the Boston Red Sox, a 13.5 game swing. And then you watch today, if you watched it on YouTube like I did, the John Boy interview with Boone today, he seems defeated. And he openly talked about how Friday night has put them in a downtrodden, kind of broken, for lack of a better term, kind of mode where they've just... they're feeling sorry for themselves. And you could see it in the style. And I talked about it Monday morning. That this is where I'm really starting to get nervous about Boone and this team is what happened Friday night and how they responded and how they played Saturday and Sunday. And now with the blown games of both, obviously both games with Devin Williams and last night, you know, many of you have a major problem and I don't love it. I would have gone somewhere else probably, but I sort of understand going to Devin Williams. I don't have to keep going over that. But obviously going to Devin Williams and then sitting on his hands while the game is being blown by Devin Williams instead of going to Bednar or anybody else after Devin Williams gives up a double that should have been caught by Jason Dominguez, but still gives up a double, then walks Peterson. He had no business being allowed to blow that game. And when you take all that to consideration, the idea that this team has been floundering for how long, the idea that this team since Friday night seems, you know, broken and he's got no answers and openly admitting as much in his weekly interview with John Boy, like it just feels like right now it is a untenable situation with this manager. And I heard Evan earlier today, and I don't think the Yankees would do it, and I don't even know if it would help. But right now, I am starting to really wonder if Aaron Boone is the right man for this job, and I've never wondered that. I really haven't. When most have, I haven't. But what's gone on lately here, I don't know what else you can do. And to me, we can talk about the organizational flaws and how it goes deeper than Aaron Boone and Brian Cashman and Hal Steinbrenner, and they don't demand the same things in the minor league system. Like, we could talk all about that if you'd like. But the point of the matter is, this team right now that's going to show up on the field later today trying to end a five-game losing streak with Carlos Rodon on the mound, trying to avoid being out of a playoff spot, it's not about every single issue inside the entire organization. As much as you might want to make it so, and as much as that's impacted a lot of it, obviously, but it's how does this team, that to me is clearly better, that Aaron Boone fully admits is clearly better, how does this team turn around this funk that they're in? And right now, it just feels like the manager isn't helping them. Whatever he's doing. And whether I've defended it in the past or yelled about, oh, how could you, like, so what if he yells at someone in the, like, whatever he's doing, this team is not responding anymore. And that's when I start to look at managers. Not when Wells doesn't know how many outs there are, or Dominguez doesn't know how many strikes there are, or Volpe can't throw the ball to first. I don't start to wonder about firing a manager then. I start looking at the manager's job when I feel like the team isn't responding, the team isn't getting in the right frame of mind to play games, the team isn't showing fight, and he openly admits that he doesn't know how to fix it. That's when I start looking at the manager, and I feel like that's where we are on this Wednesday morning. And that's not hyperbole, and that's not too much. Like, I don't know what to do. And then you look at the absolute malpractice in how he handled the eighth inning last night. And you're going to possibly lose this game with Carlos Rodon on the mound, be out of the postseason, and head back home to take on the, you know, nemesis Houston Astros? Who's going to want to scream F. L. Tuve as the Yankees have fallen apart here? It is an ugly scene for the New York Yankees. And last night, I don't know how he allows Devin Williams to blow that game. 888-808-1019. The Mets, I don't know how they don't score runs. That is, to me, that's the issue. And then me and Fleegs were just talking about it. A caller before brought up the idea of bringing up the two young kids and moving everybody out of the rotation. Again, Clay Holmes last night, they've added a bunch of arms to the bullpen, right? They have Soto. They want to bring him in against the lefties in the sixth inning. Clay Holmes, his last start wasn't very good, and he hasn't gotten deep into games, but that was the choice of the manager last night. No, Clay Holmes did not pitch himself out of the sixth inning. The manager made that decision. And Clay Holmes has been pitching fairly well. In fact, this isn't about the starting pitching to me. Yeah, it's a problem. Yeah, a lot of them don't go deep. Yeah, Manaea, you know, gave up five runs in the sixth the other night. Hard to win that game. But for the most part, it's about this offense. They scored two runs last night, and then they don't do a damn thing. And yeah, Pete Alonso the last two nights has kind of awoken and gotten some RBIs, hit a big three-run home run the other day, but he hasn't been good enough for way too long. Soto continues to struggle in the biggest of moments and just is not impacting the team. Lindor is a shell of himself out there. I don't know how banged up he is, how banged up that toe is. He hits into a big double play, and that was the end of the threat that was the Met offense. And if you're looking to impact the starting rotation, I get it. There's McLean down there. There's Sproat down there. But, you know, Frankie Montas is the one pitcher not pitching well on a consistent basis that you wouldn't have faith in. And to try and, you know, if you want to move Clay Holmes to the bullpen, I don't know, one, where's his role in the bullpen now that they've added two legitimately excellent back of the bullpen arms. And three, right now he's your fourth best starter. You can really trust a young kid to come up and make that difference. So, like, there's been a lot of talk of the rotation, a lot of talk of, you know, moving Montas into the bullpen, maybe even moving Clay Holmes because of his history as a reliever. Like, right now we can have a conversation about all that, but the conversation starts and ends with me and this Met offense that has just not been able to adjust, has not been able to come through, whether it's, you know, the hot stretch that we saw from Alvarez when he first came back, that hasn't really continued, or, you know, Vientos with a couple of hits, but Beatty's gone ice cold. Mullins hasn't really impacted the team, didn't play last night. Taylor got his first hit in a year. But the top of the order, the Fab Four, as the owner calls them, Lindor, Soto, Alonso, and Nimmo have not been good enough. And we could talk pitching till you're blue in the face. The fact of the matter is this Met offense is supposed to be what carries them. And it's carried them to 7 out of 8 losses off of a 7-game win streak. What is with these teams? How did this happen? How did we get here? How did we literally get here? Where the Mets are 2.5 games out of first, and the Yankees are 0.5 game up to hold on to a playoff spot. They both were like 5, 6, 7 games up in the division at the end of May. Antonio in Dover Plains. What's up, Antonio?
Hey, C-Mac. What's going on, man?
What's up, brother? How are you?
Hey, C-Mac, listen. So, with the Mets, I hope you let me say what I have to say. But first of all, they need to put some fire on this team. They need to fire the hitting coach. I think that's one of the things they need to do. Fire the hitting coach. I'm tired of seeing this team with bases loaded and not coming through, putting in the runs. Mm-hmm. They got to fire him. Lindor, I'm tired of Lindor hitting into double plays or flying out and smiling at first base,
swinging through high fastballs a ton too.
Yes, yeah,
and Soto is leaving the strike zone way more than I ever remember Soto leaving the strike zone.
Yes, and this guy's coming at bat every time with man on base, and he's not coming in clutch in the at bat. I think maybe changing the lineup. What do you think about putting Soto as the leadoff hitter?
You know, that's funny. Me and Fleegs were talking about that, and thank you for the call. And I know Evan had brought that up earlier in the year as well. I don't think it's a bad idea. Like, Soto is your leadoff hitter. What's the one thing that Soto is still doing for the most part, and what his greatest strength is getting on base? So, I mean, right now, if he's not coming through with runners on, if he's struggling, if you could have him as the setup guy, the table setter, he comes on to lead off the game. He gets on. Now he's, you know, that's kind of the beginning of an inning right there. So I don't think it's the craziest idea. Plus, maybe you get him some fastballs too, right? You're not going to want to walk the leadoff hitter. You get him some fastballs. He doesn't have, you know, it's one less at bat, worried about this idea of runners in scoring position, if that's starting to get to him. Plus, he's your best on-base guy. He's one of the best on-base guys, you know, in baseball. So, to try and shake up the lineup, I think that one makes as much sense as anything else. You do Soto, Lindor, Alonso, Nimmo at the top of the order. That's as good a shakeup as I can think of. You've tried him everywhere. You've hit him second. You've hit him third. I think hitting him leadoff makes a lot of sense. And it's funny, too, because like whenever they manipulate the top of the order, it tends to get someone hot, right? Nimmo was really struggling, and then they put him in the two-hole, and suddenly he took off. Obviously, last year they move Lindor to leadoff, and that sparked the whole damn season. We've seen it kind of the Mets have had a little bit of a knack of making these moves at the top of the order and getting somebody hot. So I think Soto leading off makes a lot of sense. I agree with you. I think that's a good idea. Jay in North Carolina. What's up, Jay?
What's going on, C-Mac? How are we doing tonight?
Good. How are you, brother?
Man, I'm hurting just like you, my friend. I miss the
that
voice.
That is a tough one. It's impossible to watch every night. You're just waiting for the other shoe to drop every night.
So what I'm thinking is, the team is lost. On paper, there's talent everywhere, mm-hmm. but we're lacking the leadership. We're lacking the Yankee pride that I know I grew up with, and I know that you have. And I'm thinking about getting somebody like Willie Randolph back on the bench. Put a little pressure on Boone and let him know that, his job is not solid.
Why Willie Randolph? I don't know. Cause he was your favorite player growing up. I don't know. I don't think this is Aaron Boone is comfortable in his job. Like, do you think he went? Do you think he made the decisions he made last night because he knows he won't get fired? Like, is that the reason? Like, whatever. I'll do this. I know I'm not getting fired, so whatever. Oh, wait a minute. Now Willie Randolph is. I mean, come on. They put Brad Ausmus as his bench coach, who he had no relationship whatsoever with, and he's a former manager. And they put Joe Girardi in the booth, and everybody was talking about that. Like, what, sitting Willie Randolph next to him is going to somehow be like, oh, man, they brought in Willie? It's not going to matter. And he's not. And I don't think he would do a better job with any sort of incentive of, oh, man, I better get it. Like, I think he knows that ultimately his job is on the line. And I'm telling you right now, I know everybody thinks they won't fire him, and I would probably lean towards them not being willing to fire him midseason. It has not been the Cashman MO. When they fired the bench coach 2 years ago and brought in Sean Casey, that was like a big story. First coach fired midseason in 25 years for the Yankees, or whatever number it was. But I think this has gotten really bad and really toxic. And if they saw that John Boy interview, it's not even just what he said. It's the manner in which he said it. It's the head nodding while they're, you know, talking about all the faults of the team and talking about the lackluster effort and talking about how the team feels like they're feeling sorry for themselves. And he's nodding throughout the whole thing. And he's just like, yeah, you know, we could work on that. We could be better at that. Like, he seemed, for a guy who fights back all the time, like, that's the difference. And I'm not even saying he was right to push back, but you remember a couple weeks ago, that interview was extremely contentious. Like, the interview with between and people getting on Boone, oh, you can't yell at your players, but you yell at the media. Fine. Like, I get that. Fine. But at least, like, he was defending his guys. He's defending Volpe. He's defending this. He's defending the process. He's defending this. He's mad. We're going to do it. And then yesterday, he was kind of like, no, I know. I mean, I get it. No, I think that's fair. No, I guess we could do better at that. Like, it was just like, man, he sounds and feels defeated. And the team is playing that way. Friday night, I'm telling you, if this thing continues on this path and the season, either Aaron Boone gets fired or doesn't, or the season just ends without, you know, in disaster, they don't make the playoffs, everything, that Friday night game is without question going to be one of the major turning points. Because again, 3 games in a row, the excitement of all the moves at the trade deadline, up 6-0 and then 9-4 against Miami, and to lose that game in the manner in which they lost it, where it almost is like you feel cursed because everyone you brought in at that deadline fails you. There is something about that game that has flipped the switch inside this team. I really feel that way. That Friday night game was a disaster that is impacting them every game since. And the manager feels it, and he doesn't know what to do about it. And that's when I start to question whether or not he should be the manager of the team. And you could just make the argument that Evan's making, like whether it's Boone's fault or not, or whatever. It's not personal. It's not that you're a bad manager, but you got to shake something up. So that's what you do. You fire the manager. Like, I'm talking about that maybe, but I'm also saying, like, is this really a case where he has lost the team? As much as they love him, and I still think they do love him, it's not like they don't want to listen to him because they don't respect him or because they don't appreciate him, but it's kind of just like, for whatever reason, it's gone stale. It feels that way. It really feels that way. And I'm telling you right now, I do think it's possible he gets fired in the off day. I think it's possible if they lose later today. If they lose later today and they are staring, they're on the outs, they got their nose pressed up against the playoff glass, looking, you know, from the outside in, I don't think it's crazy. You've seen Bill Madden, who I know has a relationship with the Steinbrenners. Like, you've seen a lot of guys go out there. Even Jack Curry was kind of intimating that this is, you know, crazy and unacceptable. Like, I don't think it's crazy they make a decision if they lose this game and they're on the outside looking in. I really don't.
This city lives and breathes sports. WFAN is where Yankees fans argue with Mets fans and Giants fans debate Jets fans. Live, loud, and daily. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always streaming on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps.
All right, 4:30, McMonagle here with you, taking your phone calls for the last half hour. It's obviously, this is one of those mornings where we're just going to vent about our miserable baseball teams. Obviously, tomorrow, I'll be with you at midnight as the Yankees will play a day game. Huge game for the New York Yankees. Carlos Rodon on the mound. You know, we didn't talk about any of the positives really for either of these games. There's not too many. Will Warren, really good start for the Yankees, battled through, had a bunch of guys on in every inning, found a way to get out of it every time. The other talking point for me that comes out of this game, Ben Rice at catcher, he's fine. He's fine. And it's at the point where right now he should be the main New York Yankee catcher. That's how bad Wells has been. And, you know, maybe a half and half or something, because you still want to play him at first base, and especially against right-handed pitching, you want to, you know, give Goldschmidt his days off, because he hasn't really hit right-handed pitching, although he put together some of the better at-bats against Evaldi, of anyone in the lineup. I mean, Evaldi just absolutely dominated. And really, as much as we yell about Boone, and again, this isn't just about last night, and as much as we'll yell about Devin Williams and the decision to pitch him in the position, the decision to leave him in the game, which is all, worthy talking points, clearly, the Yankees got two hits and didn't score a run. Like, you're not going to win the game. Like, eventually they're going to lose that game, whether it's Devin Williams, whether it's Leiter, whether it's De Los Santos, whether it's somebody, whether it's Tim Hill, somebody's going to give up a run. Yankees got two hits. Now, Nathan Eovaldi's been great this year, not just against the Yankees, everyone. He was the pitcher of July, so, you know, he's got a 1.4 year or something crazy. Like, he's having an unbelievable season. But, man, if he didn't, I mean, he just, one blue pit, one little, you know, humpback line drive from Volpe that he actually hustles into a double. You thought maybe that would spark the team. Even David Cohen said, that's something to get the team going. Two pitches later, Grisham grounds out the first base, and they don't see a base runner until the ninth. I mean, it's just, they got completely shut down. That's why they lost this game, but Grisham didn't help. Let's go to Phil in Howell. What's up, Phil?
Hey, what's up? I'm a concerned Met fan, as you can see. I don't know what it is with the Fab Four. I think sometimes they're taking too many pitches. It's, you know, you get up, you know, with Nimmo, with Lindor, and then you get Soto up, and you get men on base, and he can't drive anybody in.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you what really upsets me with him. Every single pitch that he gets, he turns to the umpire to have a conversation. I mean, please, just turn around and concentrate and hit the freaking baseball. You know what I mean?
I get it. I get it. The shuffle, the strike zone knowledge, the, you know, going back and forth with umpires, it's what we love when he's successful. And when he struggles, that's what we're gonna, yeah. But right now he is fighting with umpires. Right now he is leaving the zone. He swung at a high fastball last night that I was just like, man, that is so anti Soto. It's unbelievable. This dude,
yeah, I never seen him do that. He even never watching leaves the strike zone Yankees, like that.
Never.
You know, and it's funny, just before I go, you know, I listen to Benigno a lot, and Joe had a really good point where he said it a couple of times this year. It just looks like when you watch Soto play, he just doesn't want to be here. And, you know, I didn't really believe that at first, but the more I'm looking at it, the more I'm believing what he said.
You know, I don't want to address that because everyone's going to get mad at me. Back to the old Juan Soto doesn't want to be a Met conversation. We've worked our way back. It's full circle. Full circle. After the month of June, where he's one of the best hitters in baseball and had one of the best months any Met fan has ever had, we are back. We are back to he doesn't want to be a Met. I don't know. I don't think that's it. I think he's struggling for whatever reason. And I think we find out there's different kind of pressures. The dude has ate up baseball pressure. Eating it up. postseason, World Series, big games, big moments. He has eaten those moments up. The pressure has never gotten to Juan Soto once. But he has never had the pressure of a $765 million contract. All the talk about the money, all the talk about the perks, all the talk about the wardrobes and the suites. And now being the man and the idea that he is here. You know, a guy, now he knew when he comes up with Washington, he knows he's going to be there for a while. But the last couple of years, he's kind of been nomadic, knowing that eventually the long-term contract was coming. And now he's with the Mets for the next 15 seasons. So this is home. He's trying to make a good impression. He's gotten paid a lot of money. He understands the expectations. It's possible that all of that is what's weighing on him, and he's just not having a typical Juan Soto season, although the numbers are still fairly good. I mean, better than that. Better than fairly good. Fairly good for him. But I don't know if it's he doesn't want to be a Met or he's just not used to understanding that he's going to be here forever and trying to build, you know, some sort of legacy with this team. I don't know what it is, but he is just, he's not been himself in the biggest of moments. That's for sure. Steve in Rockland. What's up, Steve?
Yeah, and he doesn't help himself when he's talking about $100,000 for not making the All-Star team. I mean, Chris, you hit it, man. You can't win if you don't score. You can't win if you
that
don't
is,
score.
That is absolutely true. That's a fact.
Okay, that's number one. Number two, I will say this. I have no doubt that the guy who feels really bad right now, really bad, is this Devin Williams, man. He's just...
I'm sure he does.
I imagine he feels terrible. And when it comes to accountability, look, they traded for this guy Bird. They sent him to the minor leagues. I think that sends a message.
Yeah, no? I mean, they did that. They cut DJ LeMahieu. They cut Marcus Stroman. I mean, and that was part of it, too. I forgot to mention that again when I was talking about it, the momentum of that day. They cut Marcus Stroman after the trade deadline. It's like, look, they could have easily, you know, sent down Cam Schlittler or done something and kept Marcus Stroman around in case they need him or depth or whatever. Don't want to see him get on a postseason roster with their money. Like, that's typical Yankee move. Oh, we're not going to cut. We're going to figure this out. Hold on to him. See what happens. Nope. He's not good enough for the roster. We made a bunch of additions. He's the odd man out. Thank you very much. Goodbye. Did the same thing with DJ LeMahieu. Like, it just felt like they were making, like, winning moves. They were making, you know, urgent moves, like really showing urgency, trying to go out there and win. Cashman makes a bunch of different deals. Like, it just felt like the worm was turning. They're up 6-0 in that game, about to win 4 in a row. And since then, it's been an absolute dive. And for all the Devin Williams, let's be honest, it's been a disastrous move. I mean, this is a guy who was one of the best relievers in baseball for the last 3 years. And if you've heard the number, I'm sure he's given up 26 earned runs this year. The last 3 years combined, he gave up 26 earned runs. The last 3 years combined. Now, he's had some injuries, so it's not three full seasons, but still, the last 3 years, 26 earned runs, through August 5th with the New York Yankees, 26 earned runs. That's insane. This is a guy who came over here, you know, moped, walked around all depressed because he doesn't look good without a beard, and suddenly the Yankees changed their beard policy. I know that's not a big deal, but like, and many people feel like that policy should have changed anyway, whether it's Devin Williams or anybody else. It felt like a, you know, an old rule that needed changing. It felt a little bit silly, and everyone was happy that it was gone for the most part. But this dude's the reason it sparked. This dude's supposed to come over here and help with him and Weaver are going to be the back end of the bullpen that makes them a threat, right? It was going to be pitching. We weren't sure what the offense was going to be. It was going to be a rotation that had Fried and Cole at the top, along with obviously Rodon and Luis Gil, last year's Rookie of the Year, and Clark Schmidt. That's a starting five that is excellent. And then you're going to have a back end of the bullpen. They added Cruz, who you knew you could get some strikeouts, but it was going to be Weaver and Williams in the back end, and that's how they were going to beat you. They were going to throw five legitimately really good starters at you, and they were going to have a back end of the bullpen that's lights out. and hopefully the offense would get enough done. And instead, especially during this, you know, 2-month debacle since the end of May, the offense is still the fourth best offense in the sport on OPS and OPS Plus, the fourth best offense in the sport. The offense still has the highest WAR in the sport. And the pitching has been a disaster. And Devin Williams has single-handedly cost them 5 or 6 games. And not just the normal save blown, because, you know, that's going to happen, right? Every closer blows a save. So the idea of, like, well, yeah, he's blown a couple saves, but no matter who your closer was going to be, they would blow some saves. That's just baseball life. This dude has blown 3-run leads and multiple 4-run leads. Like, he has been, without question, the single most impediment of the New York Yankees being in a much better situation, probably 5 or 6 games better. He is the number one reason why they are not right there tied with Toronto, a game back of Toronto, instead of 5.5, 6.5 games back. He is the number one reason. And last night, Aaron Boone put him back into the game in the 8th, which I sort of understand. I don't like it, but I don't think it's egregious. But to allow him to face a 4th and 5th hitter with the bases loaded is absolute insanity. Brett in Long Island, what's up, Brett?
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Good. Good morning. How are you?
Someone in my 11 online social media groups reminded me of a point that I brought up at the beginning of the baseball season.
Mm-hmm.
If the Yankees don't make the playoffs, fire Boone.
Yep.
The Mets go on. Do you still root for the Mets to go all the way and win a championship and support Juan Soto? You'll still be able to do that?
I think so, yes. I don't see why not.
Even when, you know, everybody's getting on you and making fun of, you know what I mean? Your team, you have no emotion there, like the anger. I'm serious. Like, you have no anger.
Brett, I'm so tired of you trying to figure me out, bro. I'm so tired of the conversation about whether I should have anger or not. Yes. If the Yankees are eliminated and the Mets are not, I will be rooting for the Mets. You can believe that or not. I really don't care. I really don't care. Does misery love company? Yes. Of course. Am I sort of glad last night also comes with a Met loss? Or that this stretch has also come with a bad Met stretch? Like, in my heart of hearts? Yeah, I suppose. Because I think everyone loves misery. But once the Yankees are eliminated and there's no more misery to be had, and I'm already in my ultimate misery, I think I'd like to be able, I'd like to think I'll turn on the Met game and just root for the Mets, because why not? Because why not? But I don't know why you're more interested in how my emotions and feelings are oriented and what I want to have happen than your own take or whatever you want to actually talk about. It's getting weird now, Brett. I tried to help you. Remember, you're the one beating up your friend, and you're the one doing all these things. Like, you know, I'm trying to help you, Brett. Don't worry about me. Bob in Queens, what's up, Bob?
Yes, hi, good evening. I think other teams have finally figured out how to beat the Yankees, and that's what's going on here. And let me clarify that.
Okay.
I think that the coaching on other teams has basically evolved to the point now where they know that if they just wait, the Yankees are going to fold on themselves, and there's nothing special that other teams are doing.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So what do you mean? Just wait for what? I mean, and do what in the meantime? Not try and score runs? What are the other teams doing?
Well, they're not, you know, it's tough to say exactly what's going on here. I just don't think that the coaching of the other teams has realized, well, just wait on them, and they will fold on themselves.
I don't know about that. I understand what your point is, and clearly they have hurt themselves with their own mistakes. There's no doubt. They have been riddled with self-inflicted wounds. There's no doubt about that. But as far as there's been some things, obviously, like, I don't think Toronto necessarily has figured out how to beat the New York Yankees. They play a style of baseball that works against the New York Yankees. I don't know if that's exactly why they did it or how they built their team to necessarily do it. There are times, and the division usually shows it to you. The Red Sox stole a bunch of bases last year. Right? They had 8 stolen bases in the game. That's a team that knows the Yankees very well, that, you know, ran on Rice, on rather Wells and, you know, made the Yankees look bad. The Blue Jays take an extra base. The Blue Jays, when they play the Yankees, they're aggressive on the base paths and take some dangerous risks. And the Yankees, especially from Jason Dominguez out in left field, are not good at throwing to the bases. He's a terrible left fielder. He just is. He's a terrible outfielder in general. So they, the teams that know them best, do a couple of things. But the idea that the Texas Rangers were just sitting around last night saying, let's just wait for the Yankees to blow it, I don't know about that. I think they were being, they had every opportunity to score a bunch of runs and couldn't do it. Will Warren kept, you know, pulling the inning out of the fire. And Nathan Eovaldi is one of the best pitchers in baseball and was shutting down the Yankees. I don't think the Marlins knew, hey, let them get out to a 6-0 lead, let them get out to a 9-4 lead. Eventually all these new relievers who weren't Yankees yesterday will come in and blow it. Like, I think there's a couple of things that some teams in the division will do. And there's definitely, obviously, the thought coming from the World Series last year and the scouting report from the Los Angeles Dodgers is that, yeah, the, you know, put pressure on the Yankees, they'll make mistakes. I do think there's, obviously, that's well documented. So that's part of it. But I don't think it's any sort of real, you know, plan necessarily. And, you know, I think they try to do that with every team. That's the thing I push back on a little bit. Like, oh, that was the game plan from the Dodgers. Put pressure on them and they'll fold. Like, so what's the game plan against other teams? Don't put pressure on them. Like, don't put the ball in play. You could strike out against other teams. It's okay. But don't strike out against the Yankees. Or, you know, don't take that extra base against them. I mean, there's certainly certain outfielders and stuff. But, like, the idea that the Yankees are the only team. Like, the Blue Jays went on a big run. They won 12 straight home games. They were beating everybody. They had the best record in baseball for a while. Because their style of play, guess what? Putting pressure on defenses works against all defenses. The New York Yankees finally the other day put pressure on Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's throwing the ball. You know, Volpe steals third base. Ball goes into the outfield. They score. Like, you put pressure on other teams, they'll make mistakes too. I don't think they have a cheat code. The idea that the cheat code for the Yankees is play real hard and put pressure on the defense, like, that's the cheat code for every team. Now, the Yankees happen to be particularly bad at it. I'm not going to try and argue that fact. But, like, does anybody go into a series and say, okay, now look, the thing about them is you don't put pressure on them. Don't put the ball in play, swing and miss. Don't try and take that extra base. Don't put pressure. Don't get big leads. Don't be aggressive. You know, just sit back and wait for the 3-run home run against this team. Like, it's, that's the game. That's how Toronto plays the game. It just so happens that it if they play their game the right way, the Yankees do struggle with it. I don't think there's any doubt. But I don't think it's like some sort of real big, hey, we finally figured out how to beat the Yankees. I think they're just, I don't think the Texas Rangers did anything last night where that falls under that guidelines. It's just they found a pitcher to get two runs off of, and the Yankees couldn't hit Eovaldi.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite team, the Fan, on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
All right, real quick, let's get to as many calls as we can. The warm-up show is right around the corner. I've yelled enough about these lousy teams, and specifically the New York Yankees. It's not that the, you know, Met fans, it's just the Yankees are falling apart. You guys are going through a slump, no doubt. It's concerning. I'm not trying to belittle it, but the Yankees are falling apart. Unbelievable.
You think today's bad. Imagine if either team or both lose today.
Yeah.
It's a sweep, and yeah, then there's an off day.
It's true.
And you got a 5-hour show,
right,
between
and
now
we,
and then.
And we were talking about it, right? Because now we're looking at when the Mets won on Saturday, right? So literally following, if they both lose today, we would have done a full week without a baseball victory, without a single win to react to. Nothing but losses from both teams throughout the entire week. That's incredible. Mark in California. What's up, Mark?
What's going on? I'm absolutely sick, man. I mean, I heard your rant on on Devin Williams, and I mean, we sometimes disagree on a lot of things, man. But yeah. I mean, listen,
no, 100%, I don't know. Yeah,
he's disgusting. I even saw a tweet today. He's worse than Carl Pavano. Like,
he's impacted them for more losses than Carl Pavano. That's for sure. But
I mean, it's crazy. I mean, we went through Clay Holmes last year.
Yeah,
and it was so bad, and we haven't seen anything like that. And we're like, wow, we're getting a guy. It's just like Stanton, right? Like, he hits the homers. Stanton comes over, hits 52. Judge hits 59. I go, wow, this is really going to work. Williams, yeah. Best closer in baseball last three seasons, and he's just imploding.
No, this one's hard to figure out, and it's hard to listen. I know many people want to blame Brian Cashman. That was a really good trade, man. That's a good move.
Right. No, it was good.
Just, and up, sometimes it just doesn't Castro. Work. Sometimes it just doesn't. Oh no, the Stanton one. Yeah, I know. I'm talking about the Williams trade. Like, the Williams trade is still a good trade. Like, it is. Like, it hasn't worked out. I don't mean to say it's been a successful trade, but, you know, if you could trade for the one of the two or three best relievers in the sport for a prospect nobody heard of, and he's playing fairly well with Milwaukee right now, but a prospect nobody heard of prior to last year, and Nestor Cortez for one of the best relievers in the game, like, you got to do it. It's just... It didn't work out, man. It's hard to explain why. Charles and Rumson, what's up, Charles?
Hey, Chris, what's going on?
What's up?
So, I was in my car. I waited until, like, Weaver got through the inning. I was like, all right, pumped, 0-0. And then I went in to a restaurant just to grab some food to go, bring it back home. And I come in, I come in the car, I'm listening on the radio. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know, D's pitching. I'm like, why is he pitching right now after last night?
No, I know. I know. I'm sorry. I want to get to the last call before. I didn't hate him pitching. I still think you got to throw him. They tried to give the bullpen, you know, they tried to give the lineup as many innings as they could to score a run. Like, he threw Duvall, he threw Weaver. Like, he's got to save Bednar just in case. And I don't love De Los Santos or Leiter coming off a month off with a broken leg. Like, this is a premier closer you traded assets for. Like, he's got to go out there and get some outs at some point. He can't be the closer, can't give him a lead. But, like, and even in the John Boy interview, they talk about it, and he was like, well, they asked him about the deployment of the bullpen, and it's like, well, even if he pitches earlier in the inning, he's still going to blow the game. And he's like, I don't know, is he? The pressure's different. Mitch, real quick, before I, under the music.
Okay, here's a big match. I have to say, the Yankees don't win today. Boone should be fired. Putting him in the eighth inning, it was just a complete disaster.
I hear you. Thank you. If they lose today, Boone should be fired. I think many people, and I'll tell you this, and we'll end with this. Many people think that'll never happen. I don't know. Because they know they're going to have to fire him anyway if they don't make the playoffs. It's that bad right now. That interview with John Boy, for me, and his body language was that bad. The way this team has responded to the Friday night loss is that bad. If they're out of the playoffs to head home, they might. I'll catch you guys tomorrow at midnight. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.